a Coloradan, a public servant, a fire chief, a high-energy fireball, and a trailblazer are a few ways people know my next guest, Britta Horn. She has dedicated her life to public service in response to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, when she noticed a need in her local community for emergency responders. She responded to the call by creating a nonprofit fire department with her friends and neighbors in McCoy, Colorado, which has served the community for the last 18 years. Britta currently serves as the fire chief for the department. Britta's service does not stop there. She currently serves Coloradans as the treasurer for the Colorado State Fire Chiefs and the Eagle County Fire Chiefs Association, also as the volunteer section chief for CSFC, and was elected to the club's 20 board of directors. Now, if that isn't enough, Britta is also a best-selling author, Drinking from a Fire Hose, Five Essential Tools to Not Get Soaked. You do not want to miss this very informative and very good interview with Fire Chief Britta Horn, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. I hope you're having a fantastic day. Thank you for tuning in. I know you got many options, but you always come back to the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. That's why we're top ranked, because of you. If you would rate and review the show on Apple Podcast, we sure would appreciate it. Give us that 5-star rating and review. Tell us how much you love the show and continue to share it with your family and friends. Special thanks to all the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field and other first responders like my great guest coming up. You're going to love her. Thank you for your service. I know it's a very difficult time right now, but you'll come through this stronger and more resilient. Remember this, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. You know, it's an honor to be partnered with a great company like Detectachem. This amazing company, very innovative company, is helping keep our brave men and women who protect us every day safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. This application-based technology is a must-have for your organization. Now, if you go over to cgevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Detectachem. Check them out. I wish they had this technology when I was a young officer, but you can have it now. Detectachem, helping keep our brave first responders and military safer. You know, folks, if you love coffee, you know what I'm going to tell you next. You're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I am a huge fan of the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. As a matter of fact, I have a great and delicious cup right next to me. You are going to love their products, cocos, elixirs, coffees. They have it all. If you head over to cgevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. And best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. Enjoy. You will not be disappointed.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show. Her name is Britta Horn. She's the fire chief of Rock Creek Volunteer Fire Department here in the beautiful state of Colorado. Britta, you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Chief.
You're very kind. I appreciate it.
I love calling you Chief. You deserve it. Now, thanks. You've been in the fire service, ma'am, for many, many years. Thank you for your service, by the way. You know, law enforcement and firefighters, we work hand in hand. You know that.
Absolutely.
Except you get a better life because you get to sleep at the firehouse and play video games.
Well, true that. And yeah, I'd rather carry a hose. But yeah.
Now, why did you get into the fire service? You know, what was the catalyst? You know, what was the reason why you did it?
Wow. It was, you know, we're going back now 20 years and it'll be 20 years this September 11th.
Wow.
So our community got together here. We're, you know, in McCoy, halfway between Steamboat Springs and Vail. And 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't hear anything anymore. Remember, it was silent. We didn't have planes coming overhead.
Absolutely.
It was eerie quiet.
Yeah.
And the community kind of got together. We were down at the community center. We're kind of like figuring out what's going on. And it dawned on us, like together, they're like, we don't have a fire department. Mm-hmm. We don't have emergency services. We wait for somebody to come from Vail, Avon, Edwards, Eagle, or even the other direction, Yampa, and up to Steamboat to come to our emergencies. And that's like 40, 45 minutes away, either way.
Too long, yeah.
Exactly. It's, you know, I think people can, you know, that are listening, you can't hold your breath that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we just decided as a group to put together a nonprofit 501c3 fire department in Eagle County that encompasses 244 square miles that was never covered by anybody. It was like the most northern part, the most rural. There's obviously no cell service then, and there's still no cell service. You have to define, you know, pick up the phone and really go find a phone to make a phone call to say we need emergency services.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did that as a community and community support, and we all went through all the fire training, all the EMS first responder training. A couple of us went on to be an EMT. I went on and worked for Vail Ambulance at the time for 12 years. Got a lot of experience, a lot of calls. Went down to Eagle Fire, became a volunteer. Went down to Gypsum Fire, paid engineer. Went driving the big red trucks up and down I-70.
Wow.
Just to bring that experience back up here.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's amazing that there's still areas, probably not just in Colorado, but everywhere, probably a lot of places in the United States that don't have coverage, right? I mean, that don't have fire coverage.
Cell service. And that's, you know, I'll be honest with you, that's by design. A lot of people up here like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on the phone with another neighbor. And, like, no neighbor will put up a cell tower on their land because that's what it would take. They wouldn't really have the usage on it either. It's not really high priority because the town of McCoy is a whopping 26 people.
Oh, bustling metropolis.
Exactly. So within those 244 square miles, we have probably about 310 full-time people living in the community.
Wow.
But on the weekends, when you want to go hunting, you want to have the Colorado River come through, you want to go camping, you want to go hiking, you want to go biking, we're in the thousands.
Yeah, it swells. Yeah, yeah.
It does.
Now, what do you, Chief, I mean, a lot of people don't know. I was surprised. My wife and I were down in Arizona recently, and we were talking to a lot of people from Colorado, and when they ask how, you know, Colorado's doing, not just with COVID, but within general, we were like, yeah, the fires are devastating this year. And they were like, some people didn't realize all these fires were going on in Colorado. We had a horrible year, one of the worst on record. It was the worst on record, right?
It really was. In 2020, this year in Colorado history, three fires, largest fires we've ever had. You know, from the Pine Gulch fire with 139,000 acres burned to East Troublesome that was close to 170,000 acres burned, and that big one, that Cameron Peak fire, 106,000 acres burned. And that's about like 92% contained. I mean, it's contained. It's not in endangering people. They're just burning where there's no houses, just to burn off some of the heavy stuff that's on the ground, that dead timber.
What caused some of these fires, Chief?
Well, I mean, they're looking for causes, and it's always a piece of this whole picture, but it seems to be, especially in the Williams Fork fire that was there in Grand County, they're finding out that somebody didn't put out their campfire.
Okay.
It was still hot. It was still warm, and it was just the drought level was unbelievable. It still is. We're still in the reddest of red of drought in this area alone.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't put that fire out and just a little bit of wind and a little bit of spark, and if it doesn't get cooled off and stirred down with water and made cool, it's going to flame up.
Yeah. And then, you know, lightning strikes can do that too, right? They can start fires.
Yeah. Of course they could. If we could get some rain, we hardly saw any of that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of fires on I-70 from someone throwing out, you know, in the median, a cigarette.
Yeah, I remember that, seeing that.
Yeah, or dragging, you know, a chain off the back of a trailer.
And the sparks. And
yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
You're not purposely doing it, but it is human caused.
So what other things can people do? We named a couple. You know, but what other ways can people be more mindful, or how can we mitigate this more?
I mean, I think in everybody, we've always been part of this Ready, Set, Go program. And I don't think there's any fire department that doesn't push that out for neighbors and community people to make the around their own house, you know, farther away. Not having a stack of logs underneath the porch, you know, that could, you know, flame, you know, if a fire came, it's going to take your whole house because of all this, you know, fuel around the house, you know, cutting back trees and making your gutters, you know, not have, you know, be filled with, you know, from last year's, you know, pine needles. So there's a lot of things people can do themselves around their house. But I think that next step is just being more aware of how dry we are, of how hot it is. You know, these seasons, like I said, are longer. They're still going. There's a couple, like I said, people are still working these fires, and we should be shutting down now. It's mid-November.
Yeah. And I think it was, I mean, I remember watching the news, and I know we had bad fires, but it seems like every season California is in the news with their fires. And it just seems like every year they're dealing with more and more fires, deadly fires.
Exactly. Because everybody's moving up and wants to live in the mountains.
Yeah.
Now we had a WUI situation, which is a wildfire, you know, urban like development area, where we have to now go get people and pull them out and save them. I mean, that's what we saw so much with the East Troublesome Fire. All you LEOs, all you guys, and all you, you know, the county sheriffs knocking on everybody's door saying, get out now.
And what is the...
This is it.
I mean, from a fire perspective, Chief, I mean, I understand the emotional side of it probably, where, you know, people don't want to leave their homes. I get it. But that's got to be super frustrating from... And I've never had to, you know, God bless the people like you out there dealing with the fires and the other Leos up in the mountains. But that's got to be so frustrating when you're trying to be proactive, getting people out of their homes, and some people just stay there. And now you have to go and rescue them. And I know that's part of the job. But if they would have just heeded the warnings and left at the beginning, you know, you wouldn't have to deal with that. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. So when that did happen, unfortunately, at East Troublesome Fire up there, Kremlin, Grand County over there, a couple didn't want to leave, and they pleaded with them to leave. They didn't leave, and the older couple died there.
Yeah, I remember in the basement.
He couldn't go get to them because it was so fierce. That one was wind-driven and, you know, eating up thousands of acres, and you know, within hours. I mean, it was just phenomenal, that thing, how that thing blew up. And you got to remember this. So many firefighters lost their home trying to protect somebody else's.
Exactly. Yeah. It's wow. I mean, it's now, what do you predict, or what do you, well, nobody can predict anything, you know, future, but what do you think? what do you think based in your experience, Chief, what do you think next year is going to look like as far as the fire season?
I believe at this point, it's still going to look the same. It might not be in the same area.
Yeah. Cause there's no fuel.
We have a lot
there,
of work to do.
No fuel.
Yeah. Right, but there's less fuels in these spots.
Yeah.
Now they got to worry about floods.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Okay, so that. But there's still some spots in Colorado that haven't been hit that we actually had our eyes on, like, especially for Eagle County and Rouse County, we were all looking at Summit as going to be the next one. We talk about it all the time, you know, right when you come through the tunnels, you know, you can see it, you know, and we're all like, we got to jump on it because there's so many houses up there. And then here it happened, you know, one county over.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem's still there. We got to have a healthier forest. We got to manage it better.
Yeah.
Got to get that timber out. Now we got to get the dead stuff out to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Oh my
God. The good timber. We all need wood.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just amazing. I remember when the fires were going on, I remember I had buddies that were doing, remodeling in their homes, and the price of wood was going up dramatically. You know, because of all these fires, not just in Colorado, but all around the country, mainly in California.
All around the country, you're right, because my husband and I, we built a new deck, replaced our deck in the back of our house, and we went and looked at it the other day, and we're like, so so glad we did that last year because we couldn't afford the lumber chip this year.
It's crazy.
Hey,
it's 2020. Anything can happen.
What else is on your bingo card?
Well, I mean, you're doing so much for your community. Again, serving chief, you do so much more. But I want to talk, I want to pivot a little bit now and talk about your book that is out there. It's a best-selling book. It's Drinking from a Fire Hose, Five Essential Tools to Not Getting Soaked. I love that. I love that title. Can you tell us, give us a sneak peek about that book?
Oh, thanks. It was just something we all say, you know, drinking from a fire hose. Like, how do you do this all together?
Yeah.
So when I went down to be a volunteer at another fire station, and I'm almost 40, and I'm up against 20-year-olds for the same seat.
Those damn kids.
Oh, boy. And I have this thing about never giving up. It's in my blood. So I kept at it and kept at it. And to be able to do that, it was drinking from a fire hose, you know, learning all the tools that you have in your toolbox, mm-hmm. learning all the different ladders, looking at all the tool, you know, the hand tools and all the, you know, nozzles and the different type of streams. I mean, and different, it just goes on and on and on. What you need to, you know, drink in to know. And then at the same time, you know, dealing with culture. You know this. There's always drama in a station, no matter what station it is.
No, really?
No.
I always said cops were they're the worst. I love them, but they're the worst. There's like a bunch of teenagers in high school. They can't get along. there's cliques. You know, hey, so Commander, so and so is being mean to me. You know, can you? Come on. I mean, it's just you guys are cops. Get your shit together.
Right. So I don't think we were tattletelling each other, but there was just a culture that there wasn't a lot of room for female, let alone an older female.
Yeah.
That had no problem being there. No problem, you know, sharing station. You always worked on, you know, because you do 24-hour shifts, so you do sleepover. You always work it out, the bathroom. It's no big deal. There was never a problem with that. My husband had no problem me going down there. It was like, if we have problems now, you know, like it was fine, but it was just the inner workings of who needed to get ahead and who was more important than another and all that judgment. And so, I mean, it got to a point where it was like hazing.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous, but I wouldn't give up on it. I'm like, fine. Okay.
So how do you deal? I love that. I love that mentality. I think we need more of it. How did you rise above that, Britta? I mean, how did you say, cause some people would have quit. They would have said, look, this isn't worth it. I'm not dealing with this crap. But you stuck it through. So how did you develop that mindset and that perseverance?
That's a great question. Because what I was bringing back to my community. Because I was taking that training and everything I was learning and teaching up here. So when we went on the calls, we would do the same, you know, as a volunteer team. You know, it was also, I had two teenage, or at that time, they were grade school kids, daughters. I'm like, we got to teach them. This is how it works.
Yeah.
You finish what you start. You know, we teach all our kids that. You know, if you're going to start piano lessons, you're going to finish them. You're going to start in the soccer team, you're going to finish it. Right? You're going to start a 4-H project, you're going to finish it.
Yeah.
Might not finish it well. Might be the ugliest, you know, dress I've ever seen, but you're going to finish it.
Well, and I think
that's great
because I think that's such a great attitude to have because you've probably seen it throughout your life. I know I have in mine where so many people are just – When they hit some resistance, when they hit some obstacles, a lot of people just give up. You know, a lot of people just give up and say it's not worth it. That's what I was asking you. And you gave just a great answer because you have kids and I have kids. And what example are you teaching them if you quit?
Exactly.
You're teaching them it's okay to quit.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not good.
They weren't allowed. Because other than any other kind of personal health reason or whatever, but I'm not saying for that. I'm just saying straight up, you signed up for this. You said you're going to do this. Finish it.
Yeah. So
and finish strong. I mean, there's no other reason. So, you know, maybe it was the maturity going in too. It wasn't as young as everybody else. It didn't really bug me. I knew every time I had a shift, even when I was a engineer down at Gypsum Fire, that I always make sure that the seats were filled or the fire truck. And chief would ask me, he's like, what are you doing that all these guys are here? And I said, because I offered two things, full dinner. There's always dinner in the crock pot And also, whenever they got off of work or, you know, tucked their kids in from bed or did homework with their kids, that they can come to the station, we'd pull out a couple of trucks and we'd train in the bay.
Yeah.
And train and get their test book done.
Love it. Love it. Now, what
it got them where they needed to go.
Yeah. Now, we talked a little bit before we started about, you know, law enforcement, as you know, Britta. I mean, law enforcement has its challenges, you know, especially now in this environment. What type of challenges does the fire service have right now? I mean, I imagine some of it is the same, maybe with, I mean, you tell me, Chief, some of it is probably the same with like retention and stuff like that. Or what are some of the challenges that the fire service is dealing with right now?
I would say that you're absolutely right. It's recruitment and retention. Mm-hmm. So back to Colorado, we have about 407 fire departments.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
197 of them are volunteer.
Okay.
117 of them are combo is what we call them, which is paid and volunteer. And like the balance, I think it's 92, are career departments.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already looking at it 5 years ago that we did a study with all the different volunteer departments. We were 3,600 seats short.
Wow.
Each night. And I'm sure after 5 years, we're probably more at 4,000 now. So it's a change in our culture where everybody's doing 2-3 jobs, or the job's so good they can go to Moab on the weekends.
Yeah, they don't
want to. And giving back to your community and going to your volunteer fire department, that's what your grandpa did.
Yeah.
Well, we don't do that anymore. But we still are the first ones on scene.
Yeah, and it's so fulfilling. I've never volunteered, but I know a lot of volunteer firefighters, and they love it, and it's so fulfilling to give back to your community. That's why they do it, and they make time for it. You know, they make
right.
time for it. I mean, that's the key.
Right, exactly.
Now, if I was a young firefighter wanting to get into the fire profession, the fire service chief, What would you tell me? What would you say to me? Say, you know, hey, Chief, give me some advice about becoming a firefighter. What would you tell me?
Well, definitely, we started right in the beginning. You started with it. You have to make time for it. Mm-hmm. You know, find your local fire department. There's every county is going to have a volunteer fire department. It might be a little farther away, but get started and start the training. And start getting ready for it. Even if you go to college and there's the associate's, you know, fire science degree, once you get into those classes, you're going to find fire departments that need your help right away.
And there's
be a volunteer. It's just getting involved and knowing that it's going to be, the average didn't change. From a volunteer to a paid position is about 7 years. It's a big commitment. It's a huge commitment to get through to mitigate and migrate and get through the maze of it and where you want to go. Maybe you can hop to Chicago right now, hop to D.C., but you still have to get on the list. You still have to fill out all their forms. You still have to get all your Colorado certs over there, reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
And in Chicago, when I was hanging out with some Chicago firefighters a couple Christmases ago, when everybody signs up for a job at the city or the county, they don't care what job it is. They just want a job because it has benefits and everything. So they don't care if they're a garbage man, garbage truck driver, or a firefighter. It doesn't matter to them. So it's got a different, it doesn't have the, it doesn't have the passion to it. It's like it's a passion for a job, not what job.
And there's so many different things.
So there's a real passion. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Continue.
So there's a real passion when you're a volunteer firefighter because you're doing it because of your community. You want to give back. You see this, you know. There's nobody wants to go on those bad calls of a neighbor or even up here in rural Colorado family when you got to call the coroner, because then you have to be a part of the team that zips up the body bag. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge commitment.
Yeah, it is a huge. And then you make a really good point. I mean, in a big city or a big metropolis, it's just you're going on another call. The chances of you running into somebody you know or, God forbid, a family member are pretty relatively slim, like you said.
Correct.
You know, you're in a rural community or up in the high country like you are in a smaller community. You're right, exactly. I never thought of it that way. I mean, it takes an incredible amount of dedication to the community to be put in those positions, because you will be put in those positions.
And then your hats change, and then you help with the funeral. You make sure enough, you know, casseroles show up for the event.
One last question.
Okay.
If people want to reach out to you, Chief, how can they find you and how can they find your book?
Oh, thank you very much. So first of all, the book is on Amazon. You just go type it in any of these words. It'll pop right up and or my name, and the Kindle is available right now. We'll probably get that paperback available probably closer to Christmas. I think this COVID has changed everything. Yeah. And we're all trying to work with, you know, a schedule versus the new schedule.
Yeah.
And then personally, if you want to get a hold of me, I do have a website and it's my name, BrittaHorn.com, BrittaHorn.com.
Yeah. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Chief. I really do. I don't have a lot of people from the fire service come on the show, but I'm so glad that you did, because we're all on the same team. And, you know, we work, like I said before, and you know this, I'm speaking to the choir. Every critical incident I ever went on, law or fire service was there. So I have many friends that are in the fire service, and I appreciate what you do, ma'am. Thank you so much. And everything we talked about will be up in the show notes. And Britta, if you ever need anything from me, I'd love to have you back on the show, talk about more stuff. Please reach out to
me. Thank you. I really appreciate that. It is a big team. It's a big tribe. We all have to work together. We all show up on the call. It's public safety. It's taking care of our community. However, whatever we look in, you know, whatever badge we're wearing, whatever bunker gear we're wearing, we're all doing it together.
Yeah.
And I'd love to come back.
Yeah, I would love to have you back on the show, Chief. And I'm looking at your Facebook page right now. I love it. Never Give Up Consulting, LLC. I love it.
Yep. You know that. So anytime anybody needs any trade, I'll get through their, you know, their problem. Like, you know, we always are problem solvers.
Yeah.
Happy to help.
Reach out to Chief, and everything else will be up in everything we talked about will be in the show notes. Chief, thank you so much for coming on. Much success to you in the future, and I'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye, Patrick.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.